This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton Rouge. Boy, I from Baton Rouge.
Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days.
Good night, Bahamas. And welcome to another edition of Inside the Inner City that premieres on this wonderful station at 6:30 to 8 p.m. Inside the Inner City. And it's like I always say, it's always a pleasure to meet all of the people who give a thumbs up to me as I walk the streets. I just want to say to each and every one of you again, thank you for all of the warm compliments, for saying a job well done, and I appreciate each and every one of you. Telephone numbers tonight, 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259, and you can text us, powered by BTC, at 422-3096. I'm your host, Valentino Brown, a.k.a. Scoochie, Scrooge or Scroogey, host of the talk show, Inside the Inner City. Like I said, the show covers a lot of different topics, from religion, politics. We talk about prison. We talk about government institute that are effective but have flaws in reference to the Royal Bahamas Police Force, Royal Bahamas Defense Force. Also, we have problems with our leaders of the country when it comes to our politicians for not declaring their assets. So we have a lot of work to be done in the country. But we cover these topics in order for us to understand what the problem is in our country. And by having a platform that is for the Bahamian people, who you could call the show and have a conversation that things are concerning the country. And we are able to have a dialogue. And we see all of the fantastic callers who know the problem, but they also talk about the solution. So it's a plus to us to have a show like this that is open to the general public, and have a person like myself who come from the inner city, who still resides in the inner city, and have a passion to see the country move forward, means that I want to see a decrease in poverty, I want to see a decrease in crime, I want to see the increase of family values be reintroduced in our country, and morals be introduced back in our country, where we could have a lot of fun again for the kids and teenagers growing up in this country. So, yeah, I appreciate each and every one of you who call in, but this is a show that is for you guys. I'm truthful. I don't lie about nothing I say on this radio. I've done a lot of things that God has been blessed me to understand what he put me here for, and for me to do the task without looking for publicity, without looking for payment of funds. By the grace of God, he takes care of me. You know, when you be sincere towards not only your community, but your country and people you meet every day, you get a blessing from God. So I want to encourage people out there that if you change your mindset and you start to think positive and get the negative and get the hate out of your heart, the Father would start to bless you in abundance. So yeah, it's a pleasure to be your host on this wonderful night. Tonight, we're going to talk about a few topics. You know, I don't like to have a topic on one specific issue, because some of the issues are bits and pieces that goes on in society, but we fail to put them together. So we keep on having this conversation on what needs to be done in the country. But if we look at what we have been able to do in the last 10 years to find out what is the root cause of the problems that the country is facing today, you'd see it goes with politics, you'd see it goes to the church, you'd see it goes with a broken home, and it goes with the community. And all of that affects us some way, some type of how. And we understand that. So when I have these topics on this show, it's a combination of everything that we talk about that is affecting us as a country. And when the callers call and they add their perspective, which is quite similar to what we have to say on the mic. So let me begin by saying that the first half of the show, we're going to talk about, you know, a little bit about the police and a lot of cases where a lot of the officers are being before the coroner's court and are being charged by homicide, by manslaughter. And so many of them that I just want to have a discussion to explain why, I mean, what the problem is, and then why it happened. And then if you want to comment on it, you can. But and then in the second half, we'll talk about, in response to that, we want to talk about former Prime Minister Hubert Alexander Ingram, talk about justice system flawed, and shows you how it ties in to the police officers. Okay? So it's a tied-in show today. Okay? So we're going to begin by starting the show off positive, because I also like to start the show off on a positive note to encourage people also to go there and try to see how best possible they could go to get the best information that has been provided by government and different government agencies. Now, we all know that we say government don't do nothing for the Bahamian people, but sometimes it's us because we're lazy. The government gives out for certain programs that they have in, and it's very beneficial. Like, for instance, a few weeks ago, we had Omar Thompson, who's one of the managers at BAMSI, and a younger gentleman who was on the show. And I didn't know, and many of the Bahamians in the country didn't know BAMSI had all those opportunities at BAMSI. So I'm encouraging young folks who are young of age who are looking to start a profession or a career, check with BAMSI. So I also like to play clips from government agencies and private entities like small business, so that it also can encourage those out there who are listening to go and get yourself involved, because this is the way we're going to have to live because of the tariff that the United States government has put on the Bahamas, 10%, and also the infiltration when it comes to food items. So we could grow a lot of these stuff here in the country, and we have some great information for those out there who are looking to learn. Mr. Chris, could we play the first clip?
We are about to celebrate one of the premier agricultural event known as Agri Expo 2025, which is scheduled to be held April 4th through 6th at the Gladstone Road Agricultural Site under the theme, Food Security is Our Priority. Food security is our priority. It's everybody's priority.
It ain't? That's it, right? I played the wrong one, but that is happening. Let me look on my phone. That food expo happened today. And students from, excuse me one second, the students from C.R. Walker Secondary School did the intro for that. And we have to get our kids involved in programs like these, you know, so that they can learn, so that they become persons in farming and medical science and, you know, those kind of profession that could be very beneficial to us here in the nation. So I just wanted to play that and encourage people, you know, to get yourself involved in positive stuff like that. Okay. Now let me get to my topic. This is the first half of the show. I want to get this part of the topic out. So, just recently with the increase of officers that are being before the coroner's court, many are being ruled manslaughter by murder. And the volume is getting to be very high. D'Angelo Evidence, who resided across Mason Addition, who was a very extensive family in the Mason Addition area, you know, lost his life in a similar incident like this. And his family, they vouch for him, meaning that they know him. It could not be him involved in an armed robbery, and why was he killed? And he was involved in a gang. So they really saying that their family member was a decent young man, and he should not be portrayed as a person involved in criminal activities. And so true, he was a decent young man and tragically lost his life at the hands of officers who were supposed to protect and serve. And then when you read the newspaper, the parents of Mr. Darren Wilkinson, they wept on court as the jury found that his death in a 2018 police involved shooting was a case of homicide by manslaughter. The officer involved was 3620. You know, I don't call his last name. He has been precisely linked to two more other failed police shooting. He was indicted in 2021 after being accused of murdering Danrico Carey, and in 2023 a coroner's court returned an open verdict in the 2017 death of Ronald Markey, citing insufficient evidence. And the list goes on and on. And over the years, many people have been saying that some of their loved ones have, you know, being killed innocently by the hands of officers from the Royal Bahamas Police Force. And rightfully so, those claims are coming to be true. Many of us, our society, have suspected for a very long time that we knew, but we had no evidence. But when we look at some of the incidents that happened based on the scene of the crime, because we live in an inner city community and we know and we see killings, you know, whether it's by gang activity, whether it's by police, whether it's by a robbery gone bad, whether it's by some relationship, boyfriend, girlfriend, argument that turns deadly. We have seen it all. And we just put the pieces together with them, even though we don't be presently on the scene. So we've come to our own conclusion, and many of these, we have come to our conclusion. Now, mind you, now, some of the murders be justifiable, but there are many who cannot be classed as justifiable because guns are being planted, evidence has been tampered with, officers collaborate together and stick in with the brotherhood. Even though they're supposed to be protecting and serving, they stick together in many of the cases that we're seeing now. And the pressure that has been put on from the families, advocating to commissioner to investigate, going to the corruption unit of the Royal Bahamas Police Force, you know, with back and forth, many people feel that, you know, you cannot police investigating police, and the coroner's court is siding with the officers. So it seems to me like this advocating has change some of the corruption that was in the system, and now they're trying to clear it up by doing the right thing, and especially with the drug arrest and firearm arrest of a senior police officer and a senior defense force officer and other people involved who were using the government agencies of the defense force and the Royal Bahamas Police Force for their own selfish gain. We don't know how much they was connected, but based on how many other drug busts going on around the country after that, it seems that it was a big, big operation, not just involving the police, but known suspects who was involved in illegal activity. That means officers were interacting with guys who were involved in illegal activities in the country, which you're supposed to be protecting and serving. You yourself has contributed to the rise in crime in the country. And because of that, Curtis now is looking to give a plea deal. He has asked for a 60-day stay because his lawyer is asking him a 60-day stay because now, see, the states don't mess around. They don't go at you unless they have all the evidence so they can make sure they can convict you. They don't want no flaws. They could see you commit a murder and they would watch you in some incidents. Or see you selling drugs and they'd pile it up so that they don't break none of the laws when they come to apprehend you. To make sure that they have a search warrant when they come to the house. You know, to make sure that you outside your house, to make sure that everything they do, to make sure there's no flaws so you can win the case on technicality. So in Curtis' case, he has decided to give a plea bargain. So we'd see what happens in the next 60 days. So I'm guessing that he is going to give some information out, commit these crimes, and they might give him a little 25 years, you know, because you're looking at 50 years to life, you know, because the states right now, under the leadership of Donald Trump, is looking to give drug dealers a lifetime, and especially smuggling. And then he's a former law enforcement agent, so you know, so he'd do anything right now to get back home, and that's going to be a very long time. So a lot of people should be afraid who's connected in the country, and so who probably have some ties now trying to clean up themselves. I don't know who is who, but just to say, this is just these specific officers now. This is not the whole entire Rod Bombers Police Force. This is just certain officers have their own organization going on that has crumbled now, but how many people has that affected here in the Commonwealth of the Bombers? So we're seeing that innocent people, that society was saying something ain't right, and we have people coming on the TV who are representative of the Rod Bombers Police Force and saying, knowing the criminal. At that time, these people were being killed innocently by members of the Rod Bombers Police Force. And that's crazy, okay? And that's crazy. So they want to clean it up now, and there's much work to be done. You know, the commissioner now, who was one of the first female commissioners of the Royal Bombers Police Force, which it doesn't matter to me, commissioner's commissioner. It don't matter to me if you're a man or a woman. We want you to clean it up. She's taking steps. I see 52 mentioned that, you know, there's still things going on corrupt, and she needs to step her foot down. You know, it takes time. You know, she is uncharted water. Some of the things that she allowed when she was the officer, because even though she's an officer, all of them was on the force. Now, they might not know what is really going on directly, but they know. So even her, as a deputy, and now becoming the commissioner, she knew some things that were going on in the force way before all this corruption. She has to make a hard decision now to say, hey, I can't allow it no more. So this is uncharted territory for her, and she has a lot of decisions to make. And I think that she's going to make them as the commissioner, because this is the right thing to do in order to get our country back on the right track for the international world, but also for us as citizens in the country, because we're being lied to by officers coming on TV and saying known to police and they're killed. So you are saying to us that this person who was being killed by police is a criminal, and that this gives the police probable cause to kill this individual. So us, a society, who are brainwashed and fall for that, but not pay attention to that. So we were being bribed for a very long time. Now we are finding out now that this person might have been known to police and might not been known to police. It's an innocent bystander who should not have been shot in the first place from the police is actually an innocent victim who was killed by officers in the line of duty. They're wrong. They know they're wrong, and they covered up as a fraternity, and they've been doing it for a long, long time on the Royal Bahamas Police Force. And now they're trying to clean it up. We need more protection for people inside the police station to make sure that people don't get beat from police officers. We have to make sure that Bachama are working order. We have to make sure all these things are possible for our society if we want to change the trajectory of how our youths are headed in this country. How and why are officers who are supposed to be trained professionals are out there either by accident, they mistakenly kill somebody, sometimes intentionally because their mindset is that when they leave the station, they're going out there and they're going to deal with these individuals who are wrecking crime. Some cases, they're involved with selling drugs and guns, and they have their clique going on, and they are supplying other guys out there with firearms to fight against themselves, and they can pick up the pieces after that and then put it on the bad guys out there. Put it on the bad guys out there and make it seem like it's the guys out there committing all these heinous crimes are the ones responsible when they themselves are the ones who are giving the guns and just the ones who are giving the drugs and just the ones who are actually setting up all of this. How did it get to this point? It get to this point because it got to go way back from the drug era. Then we had the coke, the rum era came in. That was the first plague that hit us. Okay? In between there, we had the cocaine era that destroyed the family structure in the country. And we have never been able to recover because we don't have the strong family structure in there. Politics came in there. And now we have tribalism in our country where we can't think straight, where we're so committed to the major parties and we're distracted. It also distracts us as citizens. Now the citizens themselves are being duped so many times that they themselves have come part of the cycle now where they become senseless. And because they become senseless, we start out teenage children, we start off single parent mothers, we start off kids growing up in the community without community centers, without guidance. They're out early, late in the night, in school, out 3 o'clock, they out 9, 10 o'clock. When they reach a certain age, they in abandoned buildings, boy and young girl, having sex, and the cycle start again. High unemployment in the communities, okay? So all this goes on. Then they go get themselves involved in illegal activity. Then they become armed robber, might become a rapist, might become a murderer, hangs around in the community, spreads it in the community. Now the police, seeing there's 100 murders, and the police, some of these officers come from the same environment, but the police themselves see 100 murders going on. Well, Bahamians are getting killed left and right now. Some of this was them, but before the police started to do all this, you know, in such large numbers, it gets so big where the corruption is so big, but the corruption is still there. Okay? So, it's crazy. So, it's 100 murders. The police them fair for the lights cause. The police are getting killed. In armed robberies when guys approach officers off duty. Nurses getting killed. Ministers are getting killed. Pastors getting killed. MPs, brothers and sisters getting killed. Us as citizens in the Bahamas, 100 murders, that means it's all around Nassau. So in 1 year, we get like, just say if each one of these families in the Bahamas has about 100 family members. So when we have 100 murders per year, that's 100 or more plus people from that family crying in the country. And this keep on going on every year, every year, every year. And we keep on woking, we looking for change, and we just keep on going on. So what happens now is that the police themselves are afraid and crime is high. So now they're going out of these communities where the young boy who grew up in the community looking for better opportunity, young girl who just had a young boy, young baby. Now he grows up. He has no father figure. He lives in the community all his life. The only thing he needed to know how to do was sell a little bit of drugs on the side of the road, and he get himself involved in guns and drugs and stuff like that. Then you get the next one through the back road who get himself in problem. Then the next one around the corner there, the next one around the corner. So you get 7, 8 hot boys living in this community. A lot of shooting going on. A lot of other guys coming, hanging up in the community. A lot of girls hanging up in the community. So there's sex going on. There's shooting going on. There's nothing really positive going on. Everyone hustling. Ages anywhere from 17 to all going on now. So when the police get a report about all they shooting, this one, yeah, shoot this one. So when the police comes in the community, they come and ride around. So now you know who's the suspect. Everyone in the community is a suspect in the community. So now I could be going to the pump, right? I said, good. Law-abiding citizen. They come from a family in the community. We don't get ourselves in a problem. We know everyone. So no one has bothered us. So, but we didn't get running water. But the area is hot. My parents, mother or daddy or grandmother says to me, Scoochie, be careful now. We need some water. Could you go down the road and get some water from the pump? Okay. Now you know that in the community, you're going to get this water. The pump is down the road. So you might just stop to talk to one of the guys who you know in the community. You're not a gangbanger. You're not the one who's being a problem. But the area hot. This guy could have involved in anything, but the area is hot, you know? And this happens on a regular basis. And the area is hot, so the police are riding around. So they're putting over everyone, they're searching everyone, you know? And in some incidents, guys run, and, you know, sometimes guys be walking with a little drain late in the night. And they see the police and they panic and they just put their hand and they get a little drain. And they see the police and they move their little waist to try to yuck a little drain out, a little gram. And that alone can be a reaction for officers to fire because the area is hot. So once the area is hot, the police keep on coming to this area every day in volume, all arm up. Some be drunk. You know, that's just I'm just explaining how it affects all of us. You know, because they come aggressive and you can't blame them. But at the same time, think about this. We are destroying one another. Because the police are behemoths, they are humans. The guys on the streets are behemoths and they are human. All we are doing in this country is destroying one another. We're taking opportunities from not rich families. Major developments all over the country. But yet still we get poverty going on in the country. So that's why the police themselves become aggressive. And then over time, I've talked to police, many police officers, and they ask me, these guys on the streets crazy. You know, because they've never seen that much brutality. See, the police is shooting, though. But you see the way how guys shoot on the streets, shooting 15, 16 times, sometimes 30 times on the streets. The police shooting, you know, they put a couple in there. Sometimes they go over. But I mean, the majority of behemoth people who get killed in violent crimes in the country normally get shoot 15, 7 times, sometimes 30 times. The police don't kill it that way. 1 or 2 times, excessive. But on the streets, why? So what you want the police to do? I'm not saying they're right. But when they sin, it's when they go on these sins and they talk about how much time this one gets shooting. They know these guys who do these heinous crimes are very serious young men. Some of them build tough, four tough. Some of these guys get shot 2-3 times, being in jail 4 or 5 times. Some of them even get shoot more than that. You understand? So that's why the police, because we in a neglect society, and now we have to empower the nation to try and get the family structure back. Could we play the second clip, please? So that's my just 2 cents on that.
Little boys and little girls to a stranger to ask for money. And these strangers are not always scrupulous people. They say, yeah, I'll give it to you, but I'll give it to you if you, dot, dot, dot. You are setting your children up. You're teaching them to behave in a way that is just not safe for them. It's not appropriate. Anytime some little child approaches you for money, you should automatically, all the bells in the back of your head should be going off. That is not the right thing to do, to put set children up like this. It is not their job to solicit money to support the family. It is not their job. You're only putting them in harm's way. You are putting them in harm's way. And some parents know that the children are approached by persons inappropriately, and that doesn't seem to carry weight. You know, their whole thing is, well, I need the money to take care of you, etc. And that is absolutely wrong. It is dangerous.
I also, where are you, why aren't you in school? You know, where are you coming from? And she was around the corner selling bracelets because she saw an opportunity, her mother saw an opportunity to make money. She said her mother was around the corner also selling bracelets. But I had a talk with that parent because I made her understand that it's not only against the law to have a child out of school at that age, but she was causing because the parent was trying to make her life, was trying to make some money. But in using her daughter to assist, she was actually contributing to making their life long-term, on a long-term basis, worse.
Now, that is social service saying this to a mother. I totally agree with social service. But the point I'm trying to say is the kind of investment that we have coming in this country, that our government in the billions, we only getting like $150,000 sniping from the government to all of the MPs in the country. You just heard just now, social service has a very interesting point about circumstances concerning child labor. What I mean child labor is that instead of a child in school, the mom decided to use the opportunity to, she wasn't thinking nothing bad, you know. She just saying she could use the opportunity so her daughter could make a couple of dollars because they need a couple of dollars for them to probably buy some food or et cetera. All right? That is not just one child. There are so many children out there today who are actually parents because they are forced to, not by their parents, no. The need to survive takes effect in all human beings. If a child sees that there's nothing inside the house, they will find some type of way, some type of how to make something happen. That's why we see a lot of kids on the road selling a canap and trying to do the, you know, the coconut, you know, look around the streets. And we're having this discussion every day about what the problem is. The problem is we have to invest in our nation's people. Small businesses, with agriculture, with housing, with so many creative eyes, with the tourism market that has about 11 to 12 million people that comes to our shore, spend about $4.7 billion in our shores, and it's only estimated that only about $200 million or plus comes over the hill when 4.7 is made of the tourism product that comes to our shore. They're not tourists. They are customers, okay? And until we start, I mean, they do use them as customers in Exuma with Chester Cooper, McDonald's and all those places, Tiki Hut, all of the jet ski operators, all those persons who have their tour guides and stuff like that. You guys are very smart and y'all are being onto something. An average taxi driver, BME people, I'm encouraging young people to train yourself to be modest, learn location, learn to be kind, and go get yourself into the taxi business or tour guide business, okay? It is estimated that a taxi driver can have an income up to $60,000 to $80,000 a year based on the fact that we have 11.7 million visitors is coming to our shores this year alone. We're on a record-breaking pace and and we are on pace to exceed that. So I want to encourage young person out there to go and go to Bahamas, go to your MP, go to someone in your family and get yourself involved in a taxi business and a tour guide business, because you can make up to $60,000 to $80,000 a year. And learn your locations, learn to be honest, learn to also to not have a relationship with your guests. Learn to be a professional. You know, you're on a job, you're a taxi driver, you could do it in your private time. But don't make it your business that you're driving a taxi or driving a jet ski and the guest has a young daughter or whatever the situation is, and you decide, you know, you want to be unprofessional and try to engage in sexual intercourse. No, you will make it bad for the next set of generation of persons who want to be in the jet ski industry or be in the tourism industry, because you are being unprofessional. And we have to teach that as well, how to be honest and also not to overcharge the guests who comes to our shore. But I want to encourage many persons out there to go and get yourself involved in a taxi and tour guide business, communication around Nassau, because these guests, they don't want to stay on Bay Street no more. They want to go to the local locations around Nassau. And many of you know some of the locations, but you could even get more knowledgeable by going to classes, and then there's Google. Okay? Yes. Okay. I just wanted to say that. Where am I at now? I played the clip. And I was talking about social service again. And that's the part of our young people. Okay? And that there is a reference to... this is connected to what is happening in our country. The same kids right here who are looking for a better living and has to go then work, you know, even though her mother didn't mean bad, but when you in that state of hustling, you sometimes make the wrong decision in life. Yeah, so let me go to my next little topic. All right. And also, I think where I'm at now, okay. I want to comment on the justice system. Former Prime Minister hits over inefficiencies, excessive delays, and poor case management. And this is former Prime Minister Hubert Alexander Ingram. He's getting close to politics. You're seeing everyone come. We saw Mr. Christie come out a few weeks ago. Now we're seeing Ingram come out. This is election season. Okay. All right. Let me read this quick. Former Prime Minister Hubert Ingram slammed the country's judicial system as plagued by inefficiency, excessive delays, and poor case management, accusing some judges of starting court cases late, taking years to deliver a ruling, and retiring without issuing written judgments, while also criticizing some lawyers for showing up unprepared, overcommitting, and contributing to the backlogging. All right? His striking assessment came as he applauded Justice Dale Fitzpatrick, a recently appointed Canadian judge who said prolonged delays in criminal proceedings could crush the system. The judge is correct, Mr. Ingram said in a letter. See, again, I don't need Ingram, which I respect highly, or the judge to say that. I've told you all personally with my own analysis why. Why? Because we have 100 murders per year. Why? We have, let me ask you, say this again. It's like this. I'm a part of the advisory board at the Ministry of National Security, along with Kiva Battle, assistant of Dr. David Allen. and we go from weekly or monthly briefings, and we give advisory to Dr. David Allen and Kiva Bell. She take notes of what we discuss in the meeting concerning national security when it comes to crime and preventative strategies. Okay. But one of the murders consistently every year. At one of the advisory board meeting, if I'm correct, I could get the numbers wrong. It is said that the justice system, when it comes to murder cases and how much murder cases can be tried without delays, and sometimes delays can cause the case to go in longer. If I'm correct, it is estimated that they only could try between 17 and 20 murder cases per year. Now listen to this, BMN people. And I didn't need no analysis from this. I just on the streets and I know why. The justice system will be backlogged for the next 50 years at the current pace of 100 murders per year. Okay. If we have 100 murders this year, okay, the Royal Bahamas Police Force is not going to charge 100 persons for murder. Because it's a tricky thing. You need the right evidence to have a solid case. And most cases, guys get off these murder scenes without witness. And sometimes witness who witness these incidents are threatened and they boycott giving their testimony in court. Okay? So there's a lot of other stuff going on there that can make the backlogging the way it is in the country. But I just keep the basic on my analysis. So, just say 30 people get charged for murder this year. Right? And that's all the police could charge this year for murder because there's not enough evidence, enough leads for them to proceed with other charges until they could get more evidence. So they charged 35 persons with murder this year. Last year, they charged about 40. That don't equivalent to 100 murders. And it can't be the same murders that happened in 2024, okay? These are different murders that happened like 2018, 2070, that's still being investigated when someone get locked up. Now, recently, they would give police some type of information concerning that murder in order for them to get a little plea deal or to get a little easy pass, and they'd bring it up and then the police would use that and bring up that case. And then if there's enough evidence, they would bring the case up and that case would come up in 2025. So we send 35 people to jail for murder in 2024, right? We have a next 30 or 40 from the previous year. So now, what jail that is only built for 200 inmates? We have, according to statistics, it was 1,700 inmates at the Majesty's Prison. I think they said it's down to about 1,400 now, right? How in the world the prison is going to hold murders charged every year for serious crimes? They get sent, they get charged from the police, they go before the court to remind them of the prison. The prison only could hold so much amount of people. So those guys who charged for serious, heinous crimes, like in 2019, 2018, or 2021 or 22, who just recently was charged with these offenses, they have to be released on bail because they need to make space for the set who just getting charged for 2025 and those who they get charged in 2026. So they need to get these set registered. So what they're going to do, they're going to give them bail and put an ankle bracelet on them. And then every year we're going to have 100 murders again. And every year, so we're going to keep on backlog. And that don't include the armed robbery. That don't include the rape. That don't include the traffic offenses. That don't include assault charges that other courts are dealing with. So when you look at it, it'll take us exactly right now to deal with all this backlog in this country, with all this crime happening, at least 25 to 30 years to clear it up. We can take this one call. Go ahead, caller. You're on the side of the city and got it ready. Good night. Good night.
This is one of your favorite listeners.
Good night. Go ahead.
And I'm going to tell you, I want you to, if you can't, I will answer it for you.
Okay, yes, ma'am.
What about the Haitian guy that forged our Bahamian passport on our NIB card?
You want me to answer that?
Yes.
It's corruption to the fullest. It's treason. Government officials should be held accountable. The office, the passport office right now is supposed to be shut down with CDU officers in there questioning each and every individual and then doing a background check on see how long this has been going on. Simple as that.
Now, my next question, because I know the answer. So why would everybody in the Caribbean and plus the United States have... is not sending any plane into Haiti because of all the corruption and the murder and whatever. How come we get two flights a week, one with 128 and one with 150? How come that is still happening in our country?
Okay. You're not going to like the answer. You're not going to like the answer. I'm going to give you...
Listen, I know the answer. But let me tell you something what I want to say to you today. Okay? You're talking to a woman... in her 70s, and I know what they will say, the next person who call in would say, oh, they've been voting PLP and F&M for time immemorial, right?
Yes, ma'am.
No, see, because I don't love party better than I love me and my family.
Makes sense.
What they did in this country, especially this previous government, they stifled the Bahamian men in their own country, and they want them to be the same beggars like they bringing out of Haiti. Until they really get to know them. Wow. And I'm afraid to say that because I am a true Bahamian.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay? The next thing that bothers me, Scrooge...
Yes, ma'am.
...is that this government announced that he will be with them whenever he can, but he now can't be with them and whatever. How could you bring another nation in a country of the Bahamas that was under the British, that they say we got whatever, which I never believed it anyway, okay? But how could you bring people in here to replace your Bahamian people who were born in this country and then had the audacity to say that the Haitians was here before me, before us? See, you know what bothers me, Scrooge?
Yes, ma'am.
I am an innocent woman. I've never had any crimes in my life. I have not done anything wrong. I've not even had a traffic accident.
Wow.
But people like me, if I was younger, I would become a really bad person because it's how they treat our Bahamian people in this country.
Yes,
now,
ma'am.
I'm not saying that the ones out there who gangbanging and doing all of this, but my God, if you don't have a chance in your own country,
mm-hmm.
and one Haitian woman come here and drop one baby, and him and the F&M had this plan all along to take over our country, okay? And you're going to tell me the Bahamians out there said Lincoln Dean is selling dreams when Brave Davis take the national national resources, $156 million, and put it in his name, and he's the only person who could give any advice to it. What's wrong with our people? What's wrong with our people? Then today on Bay Street, they have a white man coming in doing tours that Bahamians could do in our country. Let me tell you, this Prime Minister of the Bahamas...
Go ahead, ma'am.
You are a treasonous. You are a nobody that comes from nobody. But I'll be damned if I think you're going to let you bring my country down. You have to go back to Haiti. And the minute this government is changed, we're putting you on the next plane. Okay? So you better win this next election. You better win it. Because I'll be damned if I think you're going to let me think I'm stupid because you dumb. Huh?
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, she get out of frustration. Thank you very much. Some people, you let them speak their mind, you know. She is very frustrated. You know, she's taking up shots at the prime minister. She's taking up shots at Haitian National. She's making some good points about the passport and stuff like that. In response, though, she said she have an answer. She gave an answer. I give my little 1 or 2 cents. It doesn't necessarily have to be right because, you know, you don't know everything. So I try to be professional the best way I can. She asks one of the reasons, like I said, she talked about how foreign nationals who can't even speak English get an immigrant passport. It goes deep. What has happened over the years is that we have let corruption taken root in our government departments, and because of it, instead of us doing the right thing, we doing illegal stuff. We say one thing, we have it on the book, we set an old nationality to some individuals from that background who don't do it the right way, and it's wrong. And there's so much being reported of national insurance as well. But what surprises me is that we've been hearing about these things for many, many years. But yet still, there's no investigation going on by the passport office. There's no investigation going on by the National Insurance Board. And no one is being held accountable. I mean, 1 or 2 persons are being held accountable, but this is a regular occurrence. So why is it that we don't have trained investigators at these particular departments in certain items, back checking, and to verify that persons of Haitian background, if they do it the right way, they pass the right procedure, they can get their documents. Those who do not pass the regulation, do not pass the test of becoming a Bahamian citizen by knowing the national anthem and et cetera, and denouncing the nationality, then most definitely, and plus you buy it, what we need to see happen is that the persons who are given the fraudulent documents, which are real, someone have to stamp the book. Someone have to make the passport, right? So it's not one person. It has to be numerous persons because everyone getting their cut. So that is not happening. Corruption is going to continue. She talked about the fact that, you know, about Graves saying, you know, I just want to say this. I respect what the lady said. I respect what a lot of people are saying about illegal immigrants coming to the country. I understand everything they're saying. I respect that. I'm a Bahamian as well. And I respect people. I don't respect people coming in the country illegally and they're depriving us of natural resuming. People are suffering themselves because our resources go to helping them with health care, helping them with school, you know, and that goes by because we signed an agreement. And this is an international agreement we signed. Both PLP and FNM. This is before them. This is agreement that was signed. And you could go look at it. They brought Haitian National over many, many years, and that was agreement when the Bahamas was bare. Right? When no one was inhabiting the Bahamas. People were here, but it was uninhabited for over 200 years. Go look at your history. And then there, they brought Haitian workers over. The British brought them over to be here as well. But they were documented. They were not illegal. The British brought them here. Go look at your research. But then they said, who come on the boat after that, you know, they're illegal and they get their documents. So the person at fault is the passport office, and that's the government. The person at fault for national insurance is the government. You know, everything buts about that. And she asked this question, why Brave David say that? See, if you watch the last general election, you would see where That was the lowest voters registry turnout in the history of the Bahamas. Many people say it's because of COVID-19. Many people say it's because a lot of people, you know, didn't want to be on the street because of the COVID-19. It's just that many people was not interested in voting at all. Okay? That's how depressed people was. Okay? At that time, the former prime minister, he killed the spirit of the thousands and thousands of Bahamians living in this country. Our spirit was dead. For those who were poor and those who were struggling, our spirit was dead. Hey, it looked like we was in a zombie town, okay? And we get treated bad. But we learned something in that. That is the lowest margin of people who vote. They think they win a general election. So it ain't like the PLP win the general election, you know. See, those are people who understand, you know. It's just that people were fed up with Menace and a lot of people in Triangle, and those who Triangle voted against him because of spite and what he did to us as individuals. Now, he's a good MP for his area, Kalani. He does excellent community work, keeps the area clean through social programs. He's a great MP in Kalani. But as the prime minister at that current time, he gets a fat F. But he was a great MP for his constituency. Credit where credit does. Credit goes. Yeah. So, yeah. It's just crazy. So, sometimes I just sit at myself and look at the situation, and I only could be on radio and just try to explain it to you as best as possible. So, going back to what I was saying about the lowest voters registry, and I said that, you know, Menace really had a lot of people feeling real, real bad about their lives and themselves. So in that, we saw the lowest voter turnout as well. But something happened and we don't know the numbers. The numbers is a lot of real Bahamians, like raw-born Bahamians, did not even get registered to vote. They saying that how much people register, and they show you how much people didn't register. Over 70,000 or 80,000 people didn't register. I think way more than that. And they said that those who register, those who register, half of those percentage didn't even go to the polls to vote for either party. That means people just got registered and they never showed up to the polls to vote. Okay, reason why? People just fed up with the whole government thing and a lot of people not wasting their time besides those who are part of the started council, the street generals, the MPs, the business people who are involved in the structure about the PLP and the FNM, and now you're seeing the same form taking place in the Coalition of Independence because there's a third party, and that's how it go. You know? So, when they look at all those who register, they see a gap in there as a Haitian population. And to everyone who listen, I'm not a person who hate people, okay? I don't hate, but I respect our sovereignty. I think that if you come here, you should do it the right way. And like I said, many people are frustrated because they feel that the opportunity that's supposed to be provided to them is being taken away by foreigners who come to our country, and the government seems to be more in favor of them than us. And that might be the case in the country, but I'm not one to hate a race of people. Like I said, I don't like the invasion of illegal soups coming in and putting the screen on us and taking away a lot of opportunities for Bahamians, which I am with my Bahamian people or any people 100%, because each country and each nation is being given by God. And yes, we can let people in, but we can't allow ourselves to be overrun, because when we get overrun, we have nothing left. And so we have to have a balance. So everyone has a right to be concerned. There's nothing wrong with being concerned. But the whole bigger picture is our politician. They look at the numbers and who register. They see a group of Haitian nationals who are Bahamians, and those connected who can get passport and get voters card. They use these individuals. When they look at the numbers, those numbers could be probably 150 to 200,000 people. You think Brave Davis don't know that? You think You think Michael Pinta do know that? They know how much people out there of Haitian descent or Haitian Bahamians who are in both government parties, big in the PLP party, big in the FNM party. So we are fools here in this country. And let me say this. So we fools in this country to think right now that I against illegal invasion. We need to put a stop to it as much as possible. We need to put rules and regulation, you know, on those who are here and are being here for a certain time because they can't go back. And by law that we signed with CARICOM, you could go look this up. We signed international law, right? By CARICOM. I'm not against no Bahamian fighting for their Bahamas. But Brave, and like I said, Michael Pinta, they know how much people is registered under the Haitian population. And that's why Brave talk like that. Because if any one of them want to win the general election, even when it comes down to Coalition of Independence, how are you going to win the general election? Let me ask you a question. How would the Free National Movement stand a chance of winning the general election if they don't have Haitian national, right, who are Bahamians, to vote for them? How could the Coalition of Independence win the general election if Haitian national or Bahamian descent, of Haitian descent, who are Bahamians here, don't vote for y'all? See, let me tell you something. No one could beat this, y'all. The most we could do in this country right now is protect our borders, pass rules and regulation, and see how we can help those who are here get the right paperwork and then keep a strict count of who we allow to become citizens in our country. And we have to be strict on how we deport people who come illegally in our country. But we also have to be mindful that those who are here, we're going to take care of them to the best of our ability. And that's the bottom line. I want to also say this to the Haitian community out there. You people are bigger than that. All right? Don't let people use you for political gain. Don't let the PLP use you for the political gain. Don't let the FNM use you for no political gain. You do what's right. We all have our own opinion and our own desires, right? But look at the bigger picture. Y'all are bigger than that. We are bigger than that as people on the whole, not black, as people on the whole. You know, we vote to get rid of the bad government or corrupt government. You know, that's our only choice. And keep on trying until we can find a government that comes in, feels our need, and understand what it needs to do. And that's mean invest directly, 100%, to the Bahamian people. That means we ain't looking at no $150,000 to give, no Mr. Watson. The Gono community of being in Grandstand, where there's a population of close to 40 to 50,000 people, right? And then, listen to Howard Grant. We're hearing where the roadworks program that is going on is $1 million for a mile of road. And listen to Howard Grant, it doesn't seem to add up. So you're trying to tell me roads are more important than human life? Because if you're going to give Mr. Watson $150,000, right? Or $160,000, which Mr. Watson is doing the best that he can. I'm not pulling for no PLP. I'm just telling you, because Travis Roberts has been there. I've been working with Travis Roberts. The late, great Bradley Roberts has been there, and I've been working with Bradley Roberts, all right? I work with anyone who gets in power to do lit programs and to better the community. I could care less if you're PLP or FNM. As long as you willing to help, as my job as a community leader is not to take side, but to make the best opportunity for the residents of the community that I reside in. So it doesn't matter, you know, because they know how much people is under the Haitian Voters Registry. You can't win the general election without Haitian voting. Don't care. We could talk this all day. Someone come on the radio and say, boy, this boy talking fool. Let me see you win the general election with the Haitian population in this country. Let me see if the PLP can win this general election with the Haitian people of Haitian descent and Bahamian background who are being here win the general election. Let me see if Michael Pintar stand a chance to win the next general election without the support of the Haitian community and those who back him, who feel the why for the Free National Movement. Let me see the coalition of independence with Lincoln being without the support of the Haitian people who live in this country to win the next general election, which they stand a chance of winning it if they keep on doing and persuading people and get more people to jump ship. Like I always said this, if the coalition wants to be successful, they're going to have to get important people, rich business people from both the PLP and both the FNM to come on board and make a difference. And that's where they stand a chance, because you need people with that type of power in your organization for it to be succeeding long. And then you need God, who have you here for a purpose and bless you. But let me see, three of those parties win the next general election without the Haitian people supporting them. Y'all don't fool yourself. We can't do nothing with Haitian people in this country. You can run on your moat all you want. No, this is nothing against the lady. I'm just saying this naturally. The Bahamas is gone, okay? The only thing we can do is better our lives, invest, and keep on growing. We can't win it. Haitian people all around the country, that's why I don't hate. Why do you guys keep on? I don't hate nobody. I know the situation we're in right now. All right, let me give you a prime example. See, I'm not a hater. I don't hate Haitian people. I don't hate white people. I hate wicked people. If you're a wicked white man, I hate you. If you're a wicked black person, you're a wicked neighbor, I hate you. That's what I hate. I hate wickedness. That's what I hate. I hate wickedness. I don't hate a race of people. I understand the situation, but I don't hate it. I understand, and I know what we have to do in order to curve it. Yeah. Okay, let me give you a prime example. Oh, we like to talk about Haitian people. See me? I ain't gonna do that. I respect the Bahamian people who are speaking over their country, but I understand one thing. Do this. Right? Oh, go McDonald's line. Go the fish fry. Go to any restaurant. Go to the hollow. Go in the line. Oh, wait, look here. I ain't here. No, but you see, no Haitian people. All he has, no Haitian people. You was a fool, my brother. You think because the guy who standing up on the side, you in the coat suit, you know, who looking like a police officer and stuff like that, he's a Haitian? I'm not saying this in a disrespectful way. I love all people. I'm just saying this how we ain't thinking straight. Everywhere you go, you can't see this. You go to fish fry, people. Huh? So the best thing we could do is start to work on how we're going to regulate and help those and just protect our border and don't give them no more citizenship unless we go through a procedure to make sure we don't give no undocumented persons passport who come illegally that's put in the screen. The rest, we could deal with. I love people, but we have to protect the Bahamas because corruption can destroy a nation. You can't win it. Let anyone... Oh, I don't like Haitian people. You're just a fool. They don't hear what you could do. Let me tell you what Haitian man tell me. Bless up to my boy, Elroy Price. When something happened, three years ago. So I was passing, and this gentleman was a Bahamian guy, you know? And he, this Haitian gentleman who I know and I respect them, and I'm very respectful to people, all right? Think because you're Haitian, I ain't gonna talk, or Jamaican, I ain't gonna talk. No, but I don't work like that, bro. I hate wicked people. I hate wicked people who gossip and cause problems. I hate them. That's my enemy, not color. So, a person, this guy, see, Haitian guy, have a beautiful daughter. But this guy keep on coming there, they sell a little snacks and stuff like that. The guy keep coming there and see the little fine girl. And he keep on, you know, trying to insist, you know, like trying to be a little presumptuous and Haitian man ain't saying nothing, you know. So he try run one day, like he see the daddy say, man, please, man, leave my daughter alone. You know, she young. Oh, but daddy, I know y'all, but y'all Asian niggas people get time to play and all this, blah, 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 blah. Listen, hear what the Asian man say. Asian man see me the very next day. And he say this. We say terrible tea. Respect Donna, Sandana Forbes, original butter. He say, Scoochie, you good boy, you know. He say, I ain't a bad person, you know. Say, Beamins being good to me. Say, Beamins, if I didn't come to Bahamas, I wouldn't have a better life for my family. I'm very grateful to the Bahamas. You know, I get work here, take care of me, I stay away from problem. He say, boy, come to my house, bother my daughter. He say, he make me think. Say, me? I have nephews in Haiti. Haitian in Haiti, Haitian in Port Omar. Me get boat. I call my nephew, tell my nephew, they come on boat, boy dead. Boy dead. But I know like that. I don't want no trouble. I want good for my family. I want good for BME people. Y'all stare at in this country. Y'all stare at in this country don't know what's going on in your own country. The drug trade has been taken over by Haitian nationals in this country. Ain't no more BM, big time BM and drug dealers no more. That we done play out. 90 done finish. Dwight Major done finish. Sean Isaac, the late great Sean Isaac. So rest his soul. And everyone else finished. Huh? So y'all better get this thing out your head. We better try to build a strong country and protect our border. Get this hatred out of your head, because these people here, and there ain't nothing we could do. I used to be him in. There ain't nothing we could do. Not a thing. You could run your motorball all you want. I know what's happening in the streets. Basically, all the people who you see walking around on the streets, a third and fourth generation Haitian nationals, most of the males and most of the girls on the street, right now in Nassau, New Providence. They own some of the biggest business in the country. They ain't supposed to be, because we here running our mouth, and we have a right to be mad. But we keep on got this hatred. Why is we get this hatred? Them people, smart, and I ain't blame them. They open their convenience store, their businesses. They working with one another. They helping one another. They building one another. Why is we in politics and on the streets killing up one another and pulling one another down? Brothers and sisters who are beaming with crying line and houses and stuff like that, fighting against one another. You think this before, listen. We are getting invaded because we have strayed away from God. And we put our trust in politics. So people could come from all around. And that's why a lot of Bahamians, we suffering now. So that's why we have to get our together. If we don't get our together, we ain't gonna have nothing. You can't be that out there. You can't be the able to population in this country. You can talk all you want. Anyone with sense would tell you that. I want to see someone calling this phone right now and say, oh, my boy, you talking foolish. Yeah, you go on your mode and you open your mode. You go stand anywhere in the hospital. You go stand anywhere in this community store. Or you go stand in the community and go open your mouth talking about Asian people, because you don't know who's no Asian people, and see if you don't get your head split wide open, because you don't know who's who now in this country. And they powerful. And you can't blame them. This ain't no joke. This is real life. And that's what Brave know. That's what Lincoln Bain know. And that's what Michael Pentard know. You can't win this general election without them, because Bahamians who are raw-born Bahamians, we are dead. We ain't interested in Wogan. We dead. You can't blame us. We just tired. So, other people get themselves involved and they get their connection out of that. They get their citizenship. They get their voter's card. They work with. And it's corruption to the fullest. And this goes to politics again. And again, Japanese voter's card and stuff like that, you can't get them unless you go to the parliamentary registry. Right? The parliamentary registry, right? So it has to be someone in government on both sides to be even issuing these and even getting the paperwork or the thing just with the identification, just having that shows you the corruption. Take on win without that, so don't be fooling yourself. Yes, we have a job to do to protect our border. I believe that. We got to protect the Bahamian from invasion. But if we think for a minute that we could get rid of the problem, and boy, you wouldn't know what happened. You would go missing in this country, and you're lucky some of these people respect us. Because a lot of them, it's millions of them, you know. I mean, we all blacks, you know. They're part of us as well, you know. It's just that we in Jamaica, we in Trinidad, we in Bermuda, we all blacks, you know. Just that we have different nationality, we have different cultures, but similar, like our John Canoe, you know. If you watch John Canoe in Jamaica, more similar, you know. So if you want to call it in, let me hear what you got to say. Let me hear you say, the hell with these Asian people. Let's say we want to have a war in this country right now. The guy on the side, he's Asian national. So he shoots you in the back of your head because you're talking about his mother. Can't win this people. The only thing we can do is show love in this country. It's the only thing we do. Let's try to fix the bombs like Graham said. The only thing we do is try to fix the bombs. Protect our borders. Make sure that we don't give no citizenship unless it is actually documented. It is case file, and those who give it, their name and signature is there so that if we do a back trace and find whether there's any corruption, we know exactly where to go. Most of these documents will be unsealed. Means that the person who in charge of giving them, they don't put their seal, but they give them out. Go ahead, I dare you. Go stand in the streets and say, you hate Asian people killing that bar. And see how long you live. They are part of us people. And there ain't no turning back from this. Corruption caused it. And I understand it. That's why I show love to all the people that live in my community. I don't care if it's Jamaican, Haitian, Filipino, German. As long as you is a person that has a good heart and is not wicked. And show where right is, I'm all for that. I hate nobody. Because when we all go, we all going 6 feet. Okay, let me show our love and be image this. This ain't nothing that never happened. We say we hate, right? I bet you there's not one Bahamian. If a sloop boat pull up right now, and there's pregnant women and babies on the boat. And that boat pull up. And pregnant females on that boat. And young children on that boat. How many of you would go out there and tell them, send them back? Just go out and you see them pregnant. They're in bad condition. And they're out there. How many of you would go out there and say, send them back. We ain't worrying about they pregnant. Some kind of compassion would hit you. And you wouldn't do it. You'd say, first, let's make sure they get some medical help. Let's make sure that, you know, woman would see that and they would go there and they would help and say, you know, then we could try to see what we could do from there. But we would never send them back in that condition. You know, we would nurture them. And I just saying, woman pregnant. So, we don't have the hatred like that. I understand everything that we're going through. You know, we're looking for better love as being. And then these people come swamping us and getting all our opportunities. It's because we're playing dead. And you know, it's not our fault that we're playing dead. It's because the leaders we elect, and we're asking them to make better decisions and better choices and better investment for us to bring down cost of living, to bring unemployment down, you know, to fix the communities, to bring down the electricity bill, to to bring down the grocery bill, you know, to invest more in the inner city community. You know, they failed us over the last 50 years, and because of that, we are at this point in our lives in the country. So don't think for a minute. Me, a lot of us come on this radio, and yes, we can could express our frustration. But look at the situation. It is here, people. It is here. And it ain't going nowhere. And I'm a Bahamian. I'm not on the Asian side. I'm not on the Bahamian side. I am on everyone's side, but I understand the situation about what's going on in our country and why Bahamians are fed up. I understand the situation. And I am fed up myself, but I understand the situation as well. I understand that there's some things we cannot control. Because guess what? Every government department has people with that background who don't look that type of way. And that's not discriminate. I'm not saying it's nothing against no Asian national. I'm just explaining to the general public what's going on in our country. We are a country of Haitian nationals. We are a country of Greeks. We are a country of Jamaicans as well. We are a country of Indian, country of Bahamian Chinese. Some in more volume. The Asian national are more volume than the Chinese. We have the British expats here. We have the Russians here as well. But they're all Bahamians in some type of way. So, it ain't easy out there, people. And don't think for a minute, like I said, I'm saying this, I'm telling you reality on what's going on in the country. They want so many businesses there. They're very powerful in our country now. And the only thing we can do is empower our citizens the best way possible. And like I said, let's regulate who comes in our country, check the passport. Those who come in the country illegally, find a fast, effective way, treat them well with health, make sure they're ready, and then ship them back out the country. Simple as that. That's all we can do. For the rest, we're here stagnated, and to find ways in getting them their passport, getting them their whatever situation, because the government failed, the Royal Bahamas Police Force failed, the immigration failed, because these people came here on the sloop, which is illegal. Again, I agree. That is law. Where we are as a Haitian, you're still a Haitian, but in the Bahamas, you can't denounce the Haitian nationality. I do understand all of that. I take into account. We can take this last call. Who's that? Go ahead, caller, you're on inside inner city.
Hey, it's Cool G. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Bless him, brother.
Yeah, man. Hey, it's Cool G. Look here. You know, Bahamians, we ain't good at hating people, right? That's call, right? That's why they here, because they feel comfortable being here, right? But now, we as a people, right, we have to look closely at what we are allowing, right? Because, well, there's nothing wrong with them being here, right? But when it comes to our citizenship, right, we have to take another look at that, you know, because
yes.
You could be here with with a permanent resident, and still be living and surviving like lots of people are.
I agree. That could be an excellent alternative. But, yes, go ahead.
But when we can just, you know, and seeing this, what they was getting away with us, you know, they know we are sympathetic people, right? So if we allow any nationality to just believe that because we are nice people,
mm-hmm.
you know, they could just continue to come and come because they think or possibly believe we don't have no fight.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, the culture of Haiti is being protected by Haitians. The culture of Jamaicans are being protected
yes.
by Jamaicans. The culture of Cubans and on
yes.
these countries are protecting their culture, And if the Bahamas feel as if we don't need to protect our culture,
yes,
but
my
we
brother.
Still can be the Bahamas,
yes, sir.
We get a surprise
for
coming
us coming.
To us, my brother.
That's what I was saying when I was saying. Remember they talking about the numbers?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Go ahead, my brother. I ain't got you off. Continue, my.
We have a surprise coming to us,
mm-hmm.
because it's right now.
You're breaking up. Go ahead.
It ain't all about hating nobody, because we last 51 years, we didn't prove we don't hate Haitians, Jamaicans,
that's right.
nobody. We didn't prove that to the world and to them. But now what we need to prove to ourselves is that we believe in the Bahamas to a point that we are willing to protect the culture of
yes.
the Bahamas, so that when our
yes.
children and our children's
yes.
children
yes.
Is here,
yes.
they will have some taste
left
of the Bahamas, because you, I don't want my children them to come up and believe it that I'm Creole or I mean when I say Creole or
Chinese
or the
Mandarin or Mandarin
and Mandarin and the and, right, I don't want them to come up and trying to figure out well why all of these nationalities here and but.
You're breaking up a little bit, but I think it's still
because on. Because it's more them here now than us. We ain't seen having children like they used to do.
No, because we right? know the, we know the struggle. We
but know. All the rest of the nationalities having children because their gender is right and it's simple. If we have more people here and they have more power and we have more passport than them, who own the country?
I was saying it in a way, but now you explain it. Go ahead.
Who owned the country, Scoogey? If the Chinese have more Bahamian passport
uh-huh.
than Bahamians who own the country,
uh-huh.
if the Jamaicans have
uh-huh.
more passport, if the Haitians have more passport than the Bahamian
uh-huh.
people, who own the country? See, and all of these people is protect their culture, so there's no way.
Mm-hmm.
We have been a big party in this country more than the Bahamas, and we still can have this. We still can be identified as a Bahamian. It's impossible.
Let me ask you a question. Remember I was telling you, say, around the streets and how the population is with Bahamian, Haitian nationals, and said who come here illegally. What do you see in your community? Every day.
Scoogey, I used to walk in the morning. Bahamian people, we are courteous. We are here people in the morning.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Scoogey, everybody I hear in the
uh-huh.
morning is Haitian.
Uh-huh.
Every single
uh-huh.
person I hear is Haitian. Whether it's an Haitian woman or Haitian
uh-huh.
man.
Uh-huh.
Everybody I hear.
Y'all getting my point?
There's no Bahamians on the road. Going to wake.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
And all the areas are saturated. The
mm-hmm.
same thing you experienced it in your area,
mm-hmm.
Fuji, right?
So
it's what I experienced it in my
So you
area.
See why I get smart on how I change my concept of thinking. I know what I have to do as a Bahamian if I want to survive in this new Bahamas.
Hey, Scoogey, we cannot allow a new Bahamas to be created if it ain't being created by Bahamians.
I agree. That's why we got to do what we have to do.
Right? Because we allow any foreign entity, nationality.
Our culture gone.
Man, look, we have to protect the Bahamas. Why
yes.
are we so afraid of protecting our Bahamas and the Haitians?
Dan?
Culture.
The people who we give the power to protect us from giving old citizenship, protect us with the borders, they're the ones who are actually during the corruption.
Because it's all about greed for
yes.
these people, man.
Yes.
Everything
yes.
in the open.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's all about greed, because if you truly love your people, you ain't gonna try to increase another nationality existence amongst them. Just to try to be or to stay in power or to get reelected. But who does that?
Yes, now we're getting the point.
Who does that? You're trying to grow two nations in one country, right? And he ain't understanding, and he ain't trying to get the people to be conscious that it has to be explosion at the end of the day, because two nations, two competing nations can't exist in one country.
Now you're getting it. Yes, sir.
And nation, we're demonstrating to the world what type of people they could be when things don't go their way. So if if the numbers is greater than us in this country, can't we see we can be being lit up with tire in the street?
When politics finish with us, unless we as citizens, when politics finish with us, right? Because it's about winning the next party. I mean, winning the next general election, and they would rather be corrupt. I am saying both the PLP, both the FNM, they would be corrupt in order to win the next general election. So what you think is going to happen to us?
It's Gucci, just to be fair, right?
Go ahead.
That was happening long time.
That's right.
They was doing it. The PLP, the FNMs, them down up the face of the F.
Yes. But anyway, I completely out of time, so you could finish up. Place, we did a wonderful job. Go ahead.
After Selendon, right? They was doing these things, but they just was doing it on the down low.
Now they're going.
And because Behemoth still has a little enjoyment, they wasn't noticing it as it's. But the day, right? Mm-hmm. And then you could have still go and stop the bar, and you could have still hear Behemoth.
Yes, sir.
Right? You could have go and enter a grocery store and still hear Behemoth.
Yes.
You could have go to a lumber yard and still hear Behemoth. But the day, that ain't the case.
Yes. But anyway, completely out of time. Go ahead, close out from quick. Sorry, buddy, we had to cut you. You did a wonderful job talking, and that's exactly what we're doing in our country. So let me show you. Protect our borders. Let's regulate who we can regulate. Empower Bahamians, agriculture, small business. Let's fix up the homes. I'm saying this to Bahamian families who have generation property. Don't sell the property if you don't. You get a cousin, nephew, and stuff like that. Give it to them or turn it into a small business. I'm encouraging people to don't sell their properties. Build it up for the next generation of Bahamian people here in the country in order for us to stand a chance in the country, okay? And like I said, it's not about hating. I know a lot of people are frustrated about the situation, but listen, ain't that much we can really do besides, like I say, give out special regulation on how we get with citizenship. The young gentleman talking about permit and et cetera. I agree on the point that we can screen them and give them a permit and let them live here. And then if they keep continuing to be a good citizen within 15, 20 years, they get citizenship. This could be the requirement. If you come here and you do crime, you could use this as a mechanism to deter those who come in here illegally. They do crime here in the country, Bahamas. If they get locked up, we could ship them back out based on the fact that they come here illegally, or they're here on a permit, or they're here on the citizenship that was required. Under certain circumstances, if you violate those, you could violate your citizenship. You violate yourself from being here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. To make sure we have a contingency plan to make sure keep those in check who feel they can use their position as becoming behemoth as a way to help smuggling illegal immigrants and use our system against us. So I'm your host, Valentin O'Brien, host of the talk show Inside Inner City. All the guests did a wonderful job here tonight. I want to say respect to my good friend, Elroy Bryce outside, and to each and every one of my producer, Chris. You guys enjoy yourself. To those who call in tonight, you did. I'd see you guys next week on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Valentin O'Brien, a.k.a. Scoochie Scrooge, signing out.
Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it breathe me. Way I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to 100 grand.